Good morning. This is The Bike Show on KBO Radio in Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM and on the web. My name is Alon Robb, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jocelyn Godie. And our guests today are four longtime riders and activists who have done as much as anyone in Portland to make cycling safe and an accepted part of our car-centered culture. They are Rob Sadowski, Executive Director of the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, Roger Geller, Head of the City's Bicycle Program, Timur Ender, Transportation Policy Advisor for Commissioner Novick's office, and Jonathan Moss, co-founder and editor of BikePortland.org. In the first half of the show, we focused on what is happening. There was some disagreement about the political will of our current leadership. In the second half of the show, I'd like us to talk more about what could be done, specific ideas, things that the city could do, the state. How do we make that cultural change that you, Rob, talked about? How do we create a different kind of society? So we'll start with you, Rob, and talk a little bit more about the Vision Zero plan. What exactly does this paper address, and how do we get there?
Well, the paper that we co-authored with Oregon Walks seeks to put out what are some main causes for serious crashes and injuries, and puts together a menu of things that both the state, the region, and municipalities can do to really cut at this core. We will caution the city and any others not to do this lightly. It has to be a real clear vision to get to zero. It can't just be a window dressing and a way to market what you're currently working. It does take a change. It takes a change of way we think. Probably the biggest change that we need to see is from our state DOT, and there's examples for that, but we need to look at all those priorities. And we have to overlay that with this great need in our society to put those resources in an equitable way. And those are challenging and balances that we're going to work on. So we can talk about some of those very specific. It includes everything from large-scale education campaigns that we've seen, like in New York, to get people to slow down. We know that speed kills. We particularly know that people traveling, if a person gets hit while walking or biking, when a car is at or below 20 miles an hour, they have an 85% chance of survival. If you get hit at over 35, that just skyrockets and your survival rate is down into the 20% range. So it's best to get hit when someone is slow. The best way to slow people down isn't by putting signs up. It's not by creating more enforcement mechanism. It's by slowing our streets down through design. On the other hand, we need to punish people when they behave inappropriately. If someone is speeding, they have to get a ticket, and it's got to be strong. If they have convictions for things like DUI or for reckless driving, we need to not give them another opportunity to get on the back in a car, either period, which is what they would do in Europe, or until certain conditions are met. Alistair, who recently lost his leg, there was a driver who should not have been back on the road. Now, it's not just a failure of enforcement on this case. This is a case where clear healthcare and mental health care particularly could have assisted in this case. So it's a holistic way of approaching and saying, well, what is that root cause? Was this person getting the services that they needed, the person who was driving the car? Is there a way that we could have prevented him from driving a car? And how do we create that intersection so that it's safer?
Okay. And you mentioned infrastructure. Roger, can you talk a little bit about that? How does your Department of Transportation deal with where to put lanes, how to make it safer?
Yeah, sure. So, we have a plan. We have the Portland Bicycle Plan for 2030 that identifies all the places where we want to put lanes. We've adopted, some of the best practice design guides or best practice design guide in the country, the NACTO Bikeway Design Guide for how we build lanes. But, you know, it's quite a bit more than that. So first of all, it's not just the idea of Vision Zero, which I think we're getting around to, is it's not just about making people on bikes safer. It's making everybody that's out in the public right-of-way safer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you make people driving safer, if you make people walking safer, then everybody's going to be safer. And but, you know, thinking about people who are bicycling. So as Rob said, you know, we have to bring speeds down. So speed kills. And it does have quite a bit to do with roadway design. It's not just about having bike lanes. It's about doing things like road diets, where, you know, some of the more prominent examples recently, one prominent example has been Southeast Division, where we did a road diet on that street. And we now see that speeds, actually the number of crashes in 1 year dropped 50%. And speeds have dropped tremendously on that street.
And so by road diet, you mean...
Sorry.
If you could explain.
Yes, road diet. So the road gets smaller, basically. So what we're doing is we are taking a road like Southeast Division, that this is the stretch between 60th and 82nd, roughly, where you had two travel lanes in each direction, so a four-lane roadway. And we convert that to a three-lane roadway, where you have one lane in each direction, and then you have a center lane that people can use to make left turns. So when you do that, what that means is that all of a sudden, nobody can go faster than the slowest car in front of them. So if somebody's going the speed limit in front of you, everybody behind them is also doing the speed limit. So there's no opportunity to speed. And it looks like Rob wants to jump in for a sec.
I do also make sure that people understand that the impact to while we're slowing the streets down, the travel time from point A to point B is not a significant reduction.
And that's a great point. People don't, a lot of times people don't understand that, understandably. But because the speed that it takes you, the time that it takes you to travel across the city is really determined by the signalized intersections, reducing the number of travel lanes often has zero to very minimal impact on travel times. So this idea of a road diet, which we want to do more and more of, what it does is not only does it slow speeds down, but all of a sudden now it allows you to put a median refuge out in the middle of the street so that somebody who is walking across the street or wants to bike across the street, now they don't have to negotiate the entire street at once. They can go halfway across, wait, and then cross the other side. Makes it so much more safe and easy for people to cross the street. And of course, with that road diet, you also get some bike lanes. So, you know, that's just one example. It's not, I know this is the bike show, but it's not just about bike lanes. And I'm sure we'll get into more about what the city's doing, because right now the city is doing quite a lot with our commitment to Vision Zero.
Jonathan, what are some of your thoughts about how to make it easier, safer?
Well, I mean, in terms of Vision Zero, I guess I sort of have mixed feelings. I feel like, you know, in a way, it's almost as a policy. It's almost I'm skeptical of it because it just seems too perfect. It's perfect for advocates and it's perfect for city staff. It's in a way, it's a way to sort of like, you know, act like we're taking action without really taking action. I mean, you know, if you look at all these things and these plans and all these chapters and charts, you know, the city knows exactly what to do. They know that speed kills. They know that protected infrastructure is going to save lives. They know that you need to do marketing constantly to educate people. I just don't, you know, in some ways I feel like, you know, we're going to go track down this Vision Zero plan. And it to me sometimes feels like it's just a convenient thing to do instead of doing the really hard work of those things I mentioned previously, which is just lower speeds, separate, you know, get some separate infrastructure, do the marketing.
And Rob, this requires a response, an immediate response.
Absolutely requires a response.
Because what we're trying to do is change people's mindset, not just Commissioner Novick, not just Director Treat. We are trying to change the mindset of those folks who are out there with us that are screaming and yelling about other priorities. Vision Zero is a nice wrapped package. That nice wrapped package is having extreme relevance with folks who do not bicycle. That will change things. And that's why it's so important as we move forward that as bicyclists, if we continue to yell and scream that we're not getting our rights, that we're in this little world of bicycling and not realizing that we're also people who walk and take transit, that Vision Zero is a way to wrap it, and it is changing things. We did not have the city talking about getting to zero 2 years ago, 3 years ago. The change that we've seen is rapid in terms of government. we now have ODOT that is willing to allow Vision Zero to move forward when just 2-3 weeks ago, they weren't even willing to say the words Vision Zero. That's pretty substantial cultural change.
I just think we're beyond the point of being ready to open some of those packages.
Sure. And let me just highlight real briefly the active immediate steps that the city's taking. So we've long realized that more people die in traffic than homicides. So this is a critically important issue for us. Jonathan mentioned if the city could lower speeds. Right now, we don't even have that authority. So we've made a formal request to the Oregon Speed Control Board, and we look forward to hearing from them on June 18th on whether we can have a 2-year pilot that would allow the city to control speed limits, because currently we do not have that authority, so we can do it even if we wanted to. Also, on June 17th, we'll be moving forward with a Vision Zero grant to accept $150,000 from ODOT to move forward on a Vision Zero action plan and tell us what we need to do. The money for that is going to be hiring a consultant. Also, immediately, we'll be moving forward to form a Vision Zero safety committee made up of people from police, fire, health groups, TriMet, and also as well as a policy advisory committee, a technical advisory committee, because this is going to be an all hands on deck, multiple city bureaus, multiple partners and stakeholders. And we're going to be looking at everything, changes to the development code as far as local street access, pedestrian overhangs during construction zones and special events, how we can make people safer during those limited duration events. Also, every aspect of safety. How can we get the taxi companies involved? Immediately, we can move forward on a pledge for city employees. And that's not just a talking point, because we've realized there's studies that show if people sign a pledge, that changes the way they behave behind the motor vehicle. So we are moving forward as a city on that, and we will actively recruit other stakeholders to get them to sign a pledge as well. Speed enforcement, it's Vision Zero is everything. It's funding, it's enforcement, it's regulations. And so we're moving forward on speed enforcement the same way we do our crosswalk enforcement actions. So we are committed, and we're moving forward as urgently as government can, and we are prioritizing this as much as we can.
Thanks very much for that. I think it's really good information. In my opinion, I'm a fan of the policy. I think it provides direction, so I'm really happy to hear that the city starts to talk about it. One of the biggest pieces of Vision Zero that I think is absolutely vital to and could be started immediately is the educational aspect. Right now, it seems like it's such a divisive conversation amongst different mode users, and I don't understand why that is, given that it affects everybody, regardless of how they get around. I recently had a conversation online with somebody who was suggesting that Vision Zero was meant to control their behavior when they got behind a car. And it just goes back to this whole cultural idea that we have of vehicle equals freedom, and any changes that you're making to my infrastructure is detrimental to my freedom, you know, impacts my freedom. So how is that, if there isn't information yet about that education piece that advocacy and city and state groups are going to start building, what does that look like?
Well, we know what it looks like in New York, and we know what it looks like in Sweden, and we know what it looks like in Germany. It includes a mix of neighborhood-based kind of campaigns where you've got street signs out, where there's a higher number of crashes, so people are just alerting people, hey, slow down here because this is a problems area, to larger scale where you've got billboards, advertisement. One of the challenges we have is that people are receiving information and their news and their ideas from so many different sources now. It's not as simple as putting a billboard up. And change is really hard changing adult behavior is really, really hard. So we're going to look at the tobacco industry, not the industry, but the tobacco work to get people to reduce tobacco as a really key tool. It took a lot of money and it took a lot of effort. That big scale education is something we can't implement tomorrow. It's just not going to happen. But we're looking at things like taking this pledge, taking it step by step, hoping to have this conversation. If folks are interested in helping out, here's what we can do. Or here's what you could do. Have a dinner, have some friends over, and start the dialogue and conversation and get people thinking about what does this mean for us. The conversations that are happening in New York right now are mind-changing. People never even imagined that one of the things they could do was arrest people for violating the right of way when people turn and hit a pedestrian. They're actually cuffing people and bringing them in and booking them when you fail to yield the right of way in a crosswalk. That is remarkable. No, police are, so if they've now made it a felony, so that if you turn into a crosswalk when you don't have the right of way and you hit someone, it is a felony. That's huge. That political leadership, and they're getting hit hard right now on this, but they're sticking to their guns. And so maybe it's one of the central pieces. Does de Blasio get reelected after doing this? Is he going to continue that support? I know that politicians are afraid of that. I guess I would applaud the fact that Portland right now is, I'd say, doing nothing short of embracing Vision Zero, and that's really exciting. It may not be as quickly as people would like to see it happen, but the fact that they're not backing out. They're saying, we're doing this. That's really, really applaudable.
And the BTA has been doing good work over the years with kids in schools and other community sectors. The education component of a plan seems to include also events like Pedalpalooza, fun events, part of the bicycle culture. I participated in the first Pedalpalooza events 14 years ago. And it's amazing to see the number of events, cyclists, and publicity all over the world to this wonderful community event organized by us. If we mention Pedalpalooza, maybe I'll just a little diversion from our very serious topic here. Does everyone plan to participate this year? What are some of your past and future rides that you could tell our listeners about?
Great. Well, I'm thoroughly excited for Pedalpalooza. Looking forward to the kickoff ride. My personal favorite is Peter Kuntz's Wonk Ride, and we go around and looking at bicycle infrastructure and traffic lights and how tweaks in traffic signalization can actually improve a bike-friendly city.
BTA is happy to announce we have the largest number of rides that we're offering, so we're really excited to see people come out. My own personal favorite is the bicycle play, where you go and see these folks put on different scenes at different locations. Last year's was fabulous, and I'm really excited to see them top it this year.
I can attest to that. It's one of my favorites as well.
some of the most fun times I've had on Pedalpalooza rides have been the when I've been actually just run into the Bowie Prince ride. And that's always fun. It's always great to stop them. Well, I'm not going to say that. It's always fun to have the opportunity to dance out in public with people dressed fabulously. And then I think the...
So what's your choice?
You know, I go both ways. gosh, there was another one that I was just thinking of that it'll come back to me.
And Jonathan, what?
Well, I'll definitely be out there. This will be my 10th anniversary coming out to Pedalpalooza. For me, I guess I'm sort of biased. The naked bike ride is probably the most memorable ride for me every year, probably because it's by far the largest single post we make every single year with millions and millions of views from all over the world. It's pretty amazing. And I have to promote my own ride this year that I'm putting on called Bike Skip Ball. We're going to be doing it on June 10th, so next Wednesday, and we are going to be sampling some of Portland's finest street hoops and doing our biking and basketball playing on them.
And Jocelyn, are you participating?
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely be out there. I guess first and foremost, just looking forward to the kickoff ride on Thursday. Got to start somewhere. That's always just like the positive vibes that are building there. Such a good time. And Sunday Parkways is in my hood in the month of June, so that'll be exciting to see North Portland getting some good bike love.
Okay. We have about 10 more minutes, so I'd like to wrap things up a little bit. Rob, you mentioned earlier, you know, the need for traffic justice. You connected cycling to other changes in society. If you could tell us a little bit about what you imagine here happening.
Well, I'll give you an example of where I see traffic justice playing out. A few weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I met with the Bureau of Transportation to talk about this new concept of a green loop downtown. And it's an exciting little kind of linear park that would travel through the central city and to the central east side. And in that conversation, we were talking about equity and how to make sure that there is an equity component to this green loop. And my answer is, if you really want to talk about equity, we don't talk about how to bring equity to the green loop in the central east side and downtown. We need a fantastic linear park in East Portland that we can be really proud of. And so that is traffic justice. That is transportation justice when we're looking at our exciting news, not just talking about safety projects in East Portland, but how do we bring some world-class facilities. And again, we need to make sure that transit is a part of this. We need youth transit passes not to just be a temporary fix, but a permanent fix. And listen to folks who are working day in and day out on transportation justice, such as OPAL, on what the needs are in those communities and integrate it into our policy and into our leadership and into our councils that are advising us.
Okay. Anyone else want to comment about what Rob said?
Sounds like a great idea to me. I'm all for big, huge demonstration projects, and doing one in a place that isn't in the central city would be really fantastic. I think we're really lacking a big marquee project to really help make the case and show people what the heck it is we're always yelling about.
So will that be Outer Powell?
I just wanted to address something else real quick. when we do temporary projects, we prefer to call them pilot, because we found this out with the police. They don't like the name demonstration project because that is a different name for it. Just something that thought I'd mention, but I just thought it was funny when they mentioned it. Anyway, sorry.
Okay.
Alon, just to add to that, I think Rob makes a great point, and I think that we will have a really good project that will at least get closer to the idea of equity when Southeast Foster Road Project is implemented. And that was a tremendous, for those of you who don't know what that is a big road diet project that is going to improve the pedestrian environment. It's going to introduce 7-foot buffered bike lanes on Foster. The business community, the Foster Area Business Association, was tremendously excited about this project. They testified at City Hall in favor. The Neighborhood Association testified in favor of this. And what's really interesting about this project is that everybody knows, we know, they know, that this is going to cause increased congestion during the PM peak. This is going to increase travel times on Southeast Foster. And normally something like that would just be completely verboten. You just wouldn't even be able to get to council with that. We brought it to council, to their credit. And again, it was Commissioner Novick that showed a lot of leadership on this. We got it through council on a unanimous vote. And this is something that's going to be a really high quality project on Foster Boulevard, going into Lentz, a Foster Road going into Lentz, and it's getting a little bit closer to East Portland.
And I can just touch on that real quick. Peabody had put a proposal out, and the community had wanted actually a more aggressive road diet there. And so Commissioner Novick asked Peabody to come up with a better redesign there. And so we understand that there may be some time delay in that corridor, but we also recognize that it's a trade-off, because the minimal time delay increase for motorists comes at a benefit for people biking and walking, and makes it easier to walk to those schools in that area. And so we understand that and we support that. And the Foster Road Diet was a unanimous council decision, thanks to leadership from Commissioner Novick.
What's really important to just add is that the economic benefit to the Foster community will be huge. It is not healthy for a local economy to have fast roads going through it. Strip malls don't work. It's that walkable community, that 20-minute neighborhood that is thriving in Portland.
Are there also any plans for Northwest Portland? I live by McClay Park, and we have very few lanes. And any plans over there?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that we're looking at that would have a big benefit for Northwest Portland is the idea of a Flanders Street Bridge that would go across I-405 and, you know, the full build out of a Flanders Street neighborhood greenway. So that's something that has been identified as a top priority by the city's Bike Advisory Committee. It's something that has system development charges, which means that there is some funding available for something like that. And it's something that we're looking at. I think that's probably the best project that we have to offer right now for Northwest. That, and there's elements of NATO Parkway that we're looking at as well for potential road diet.
And if we have a few minutes, there's one more issue that I'd like to bring up. Mm-hmm. So lately from the community, we've heard about neighborhood greenways and how they are a great source for biking and walking, but we've seen more traffic than we'd like to on those, and higher speeds than we are willing to accept. So PBOT has been studying that. We now have the data. We will be submitting a neighborhood greenway report to council later on this month. And that what we did during that report was we did an assessment of the whole system and the 80 miles of neighborhood greenways that the city has, and we're going to be prioritizing some of the more egregious ones for treatments. And part of that is we're looking at diversion, and specifically we're exploring temporary diversion to see what works, and we want to see community consensus. But we are willing to try new things as it relates to that, because we are committed to reaching our mode split goals for Roger, can you remind me of the Mode Split goals? Is it 25% by 2030?
2035. And let me just, when you're going through this analysis of prioritizing those projects, don't just pick the projects where the young white people are screaming the loudest, so that while Clinton desperately needs assistance, make sure that there's an equity overlay to those discussions and those decisions, please.
Okay, we have about just a few minutes. We covered a lot of topics, heard different perspectives about the state of cycling in the city, different ideas about what the city government is doing. Some are more enthusiastic about it, some are less enthusiastic. Let us just go around quickly, maybe final words from each one of you about the state of cycling in Portland and the future. I mean, if your crystal ball is not too cloudy. Start with you, Jonathan.
I'm looking forward to reporting on all the great stuff that the city's about to do with their big commitment to Vision Zero. There's nothing I like better than reporting about new projects, but something's got to happen. Something's got to get on the ground. I want to see money and I want to see projects. And I think I speak for a lot of people when I say I'm sort of tired of the promises and policies and committees.
Okay. Roger?
I'm pretty optimistic by nature, so I feel very encouraged. I am encouraged by the level of grassroots activism that I'm starting to see in the city. I'm encouraged that people are demanding better of us, those of us who work in the bureaucracy and who work in City Hall. And I'm encouraged by the team of people that we have ready to implement. You know, we can build truly a city that's a bicycling paradise. Okay. And that's what I'm encouraged by.
And Rob?
Well, I'm encouraged by what we're seeing in our suburban communities. I'm encouraged by what we see in Portland. But I also am worried that we're not going to get where we need to go. We're not going to get to the 2030 plan if we continue at the pace that we're doing. So for you out there who want to know how they can get involved and get engaged, I'll offer a couple suggestions. One, go to town hall meetings. Go to our website and look for our action alerts. Let your politicians know that you care. Or even better, consider running. The only way we're going to change the politics of our community is to get empowered.
Okay, and Timur, you get the last word, and try not to bring in the name of Commissioner Nova.
Okay, great. Well, I'm full of optimism for the future of the city of Portland. I love working in public service, and I just want to say I think we're starting a new chapter as far as looking at experimenting and trying new things. I just want to highlight NATO. Previously, Better Block had applied for a permit to utilize one lane of NATO for biking and walking. Instead of permit it, PBOT essentially hugged the project and embraced it and made it their own, and they helped out with the website. And so I want to highlight that we are moving forward on trying new things. Also, the commitment from city leadership to pass a budget for PBOT that is $29 million for the programs and policies that we want to move forward. But also, we're just moving forward with this emergency.
This has been the Bike Show on KBOR Radio, Portland, 90.7 FM, and on the web. My name is Alon Rob. I'd like to thank my co-host, Jocelyn Godie, our engineer, Patsy Kohlberg, and our guests who shared their time, knowledge, and commitment to cycling, Roger Geller, Jonathan Moss, Timur Ender, and Rob Sadowski. It has been a sad month for Portland cycling. Pedalpalooza is just around the corner. May the next month be one without injuries and death, a month of health, safety, and joy. Thank you all for being here today.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Hopworks Urban Brewery, committed to creating world-class food and organic beer as sustainably as possible at their carbon-neutral eco-brew pubs. Hopworks is located at Southeast 29th and Powell Boulevard, and Hopworks Bike Bar is at North Williams and Shaver, available on draft and in bottles throughout Cascadia. Information at 503-232-HOP. HOPS or hopworksbeer.com, and by Portland's Five Centers for the Arts presenting The Bicycle Men, a body musical comedy featuring Second City alumni. The Bicycle Men tells the story of Steve, a hapless American cyclist whose bike breaks down in a small French village. The Bicycle Men on stage June 5th through June 7th at the Winningstad Theater. Tickets and information at portland5.com. You are listening to KBOO Portland. It is almost 12 o'clock. Stay tuned for noon news and then Jazz Live.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Improvisation Summit of Portland, June 4th through 6th at Disjecta in Portland. This all-ages event brings together musicians, dancers, and experimental performers for 3 days of improvisational art. Performers include Roscoe Mitchell, Jonah Parzan Johnson, Linda Austin, Gordon Ashworth, Either Neither, and many, many more. Again, that's the Improvisation Summit of Portland, Thursday, June 4th through June 6th at Disjecta, 8371 North Interstate Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Out Loud is retiring in June, but queer programming will continue on your community radio station. KBOO is proud of our longtime support of programming serving and featuring the area's queer community, and while we prepared to say goodbye to Out Loud, we welcome the opportunity for new programs to continue airing in Out Loud's time slot every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. More information is available on the KBOO website at kboo.fm/outloud.